Well, good evening. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to be here worshiping the triune God with you today. And it is my privilege to bring the word from Isaiah 28. So if you would turn to the prophet Isaiah 28, I'm going to read verses 23 through 29. Just a little bit of context as we turn there. We all probably are somewhat familiar with the book of Isaiah, the second part of the book, bringing God's comfort and assurance to his people. And perhaps you may have read through or looked through the first part of Isaiah, and you see that there's a lot of warnings against the nations and even warnings against the people of God. And yet, even in this first section of Isaiah, which has much about judgment, we see this passage of great comfort and hope for the people of God. So let's give attention to the word of God from Isaiah 28, verses 23 through 29. Give ear and hear my voice. Give attention and hear my speech. Does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? When he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill? Sow cumin and put in wheat in rows and barley in its proper place and emmer as the border. For he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him. Dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel ruled over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a stick and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Well, let's pray that the Lord would give us his wisdom from his word this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word, even spoken through the prophets long ago. Your word was declared to your people. We pray that even as they took it to heart and by your Holy Spirit you instructed them, that you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit. Help us in all things to hear and practice your word in our lives. Be with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know what your perspective is on the weather outside right now, but coming from the cold and snowy north, this seems an awful lot like spring to me. And even driving down from Presbytery the other day, I noticed a number of fields along Highway 31 that had been plowed up, ready for planting. Perhaps you don't have a big tractor or a field, but perhaps you like to garden. You grow tomatoes or flowers. And even if none of those things, we all appreciate the greening up of the world outside, which is brought in part and possibility by the tilling of soil and the working of that earth. And here, Isaiah uses this as a metaphor to teach us an important point. In verse 23, give ear and hear my voice, give attention, hear my speech. In other words, listen up, because I've got something to say to you. Isaiah says here in verse 24, does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? Now, we're probably all somewhat familiar with what plowing is, but in case you're not, plowing is what you do with a field where you have essentially a big steel blade and pulled by a tractor of some sort that cuts deep into the earth and digs a furrow, taking big clods of earth and throwing them to the side. And back in the days of Isaiah, probably wouldn't have been steel and certainly not pulled by a tractor, perhaps even a piece of wood and pulled by an animal of some kind and dragging that furrow through the earth and again bringing up those big clods of earth into a pile on the side. And once the farmer is done plowing, these big pieces of dirt are still there and you can't plant in them, so he has to harrow. That's what harrowing is, and there's different kinds of harrows today. We often think of a disc harrow, which is run over these clods of earth to break them up into small pieces. Back in the days of Isaiah, probably would have been branches dragged over to break up the soil and make it workable so that seeds can be planted and grown. And Isaiah asks the question here, does he who plows for sowing plow continually? Does he continually open and harrow his ground? In other words, this idea of continually here is repeatedly, over and over again. Does the farmer go out and plow his field thoroughly and then go back the next day and do it again? And we say, no, of course not. When the field has been plowed, it's ready for planting. He doesn't need to plow it again. He doesn't need to continually drag his plow across his fields and then come back and harrow it. Isaiah says in verse 25, when he has leveled its surface, when all this work has been done, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rows and barley in its proper place and emmer as the border? In other words, the farmer does what he does for a purpose. He does it at the right time and for a time and for a purpose. And the purpose is to plant this. We see this mosaic of different sorts of grain and seeds which are planted in the field. The purpose of his plowing and harrowing is not for the sake of the plowing. It's to produce fruit, to produce a crop, to bring something useful and good and beautiful out of it. And Isaiah says in verse 26, for he is rightly instructed, his God teaches him. Now, this is not saying that farmers have some sort of special revelation, that you know, they hear some sort of word from the Lord about how they are to farm their fields, but simply that the good farmer, he knows what he's doing. He studies the world that God has created, that God has placed him in, and he does things that generally make sense, that are good for producing a crop, that are good for his field. He doesn't continually tear up his field time and time again. But using wisdom in the world that God has created him, he plows it at the right time and for a time and for a purpose. Now, I've called this sermon farming advice. But you see, it's not really advice for farmers. Rather, this advice that Isaiah the prophet is bringing to us, it's not for the farmer, it's for the land that's being farmed. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you are God's field. And we might say that God is your heavenly farmer. Let's go back to the context of the book for a little bit. That this section of the prophet Isaiah has a lot to say about God's judgment on his people, yes, for their sins, and they've been promised the Assyrians, and we're going to see that later in the book, this Assyria surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and they've been promised the Babylonians. And Assyria and Babylon are God's, as it were, plow and his harrow that he's bringing upon his people. He is plowing them open, just as we sang earlier from Psalm 129, plowing a metaphor for God's chastening of his people. They plowed my back like farmers plowing furrows, but yet they made their gouges deep and long. And that was the experience of God's people after the days of Isaiah. Now, people of God, just as Israel experienced God's plowing as the church, and we see this corporately, so also God, the heavenly farmer, brings his plow and his harrow into our lives as well. We too can experience this. And Isaiah's assurance here is not to scare us, but actually to bring comfort. We experience God's plow and God's harrow in our lives, and God's providences God brings trials and difficulties into our lives, and it is painful. And Isaiah wants to assure us this evening that just as the wise and the good farmer, he plows his field at the right time, but it is only for a time. He does not do it continually. He is not out there every single day plowing the same field. He brings it for the right amount of time, and it is always for a purpose. And so it is in our lives as well. We might find that God brings his plow into our lives and digs a furrow. And just when we're going to pick up the pieces and try to rebuild our life, his harrow comes along and breaks them. And we say, What shall we do? Is this going to be forever? Think of the words of Psalm 77. Forever will the Lord reject? Can I his favor not expect? Forever has his kindness ceased? And is he from his word released? Did God forget to show his grace? Does wrath his mercy now replace? These questions come to our minds and to our hearts as we experience God's plow and harrow in our lives. We are to be reminded, just like that good and wise farmer, God's plowing is at the right time, it is for a time, and it is for a purpose. We say, well, what is that purpose? Why did God bring this trial into my life? Why did God allow everything to be shaken and broken apart? It is to bring fruit. When you sow seeds, as you know from perhaps gardening or what have you, you know that if you try to plant seeds in a hard block of dirt, they're not going to grow very well, are they? In fact, what you need to improve is something that's called tilth. And the tilth is essentially represents the amount that the soil has been broken up. And the purpose of this is that so when the seeds are planted in the soil, they have good contact with the soil and with the nutrients that they need. And so in our own lives, God, as it were, develops tilth in our lives through his providences and through trials for the purpose that we might grow. And he knows what to plant and where to plant it and when to plant it. Verse 25, again, when he has leveled its surface, does he not scatter dill, sow cumin, and put in wheat and rows and barley in its proper place, and emmer as the border? Out of the pain and the suffering of plowing, the field produces, again, this mosaic of beauty and goodness and productivity. And that is what the Lord brings into our lives as well. Now in verse 27, Isaiah changes the metaphor up a little bit. He's been talking about fields being plowed and planted. And in verse 27, the metaphor changes to one of harvest time. Verse 27, dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin, but dill is beaten out with a stick and cumin with a rod. Does one crush grain for bread? No, he does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. This is the problem that you have when you grow something, which is a seed crop of some kind, or grain perhaps, or here we see dill and cumin, some herbs. You have to remove the husk and the chaff from the seed so that you can use the seed for something useful. You have to remove the husk from the wheat so that you can grind it for bread, and the husk from the dill so that you can use it to cook. That's the problem, separating out the bad stuff so you keep what is good. And Isaiah here, as he deals with this idea of threshing, threshing simply is the process of removing the bad stuff, the chaff. And he says here, dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, and a cartwheel nor is a cartwheel rolled over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with the rod. If you were to take the threshing sledge, and again, it's a big sledge that would be run over hard grains, perhaps hard wheat, to remove the chaff. If you were to take that and use it on dill or cumin, you would destroy your produce. You would destroy what you were trying to thresh. He says, no, a dill is beaten out with a stick. It gets a lighter treatment, and cumin with a rod. And again, verse 27, does one crush grain for bread? He does not thresh it forever. When he drives his cartwheel over it with his horses, he does not crush it. The wise and good farmer knows the treatment that each kind of seed needs to have for it to be productive. He knows that things like hard wheat need to be threshed to remove the chaff. But others, dill or cumin, they need a lighter treatment. And people of God, so it is with us. The Lord knows what to bring into our lives to help us, to remove chaff from our lives, to help us to grow in sanctification. And He will not bring into our lives trials that will overwhelm and crush us. But it is for our good. The Lord knows what we can handle. Now, as someone once told me, the Lord will never bring us more than we can handle, but sometimes it's awful surprising how much He knows we can handle. Yet He does all of this in the excellence of His wisdom. And so we come to verse 29. This also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Perhaps you hear this and you say, well, that's encouraging in some sense, but when the rubber meets the road, how does this really work? What does this really mean? Well, I want to bring an example of the excellence of God's wisdom in this regard. We already referenced Psalm 129. They plowed my back, and we can picture and see how Israel, as a nation, indeed was plowed under. And in Isaiah, there's this beautiful theme that comes in the second part of the book, that of the suffering servant, and the contrast between Israel as a nation, the servant that could not, but Christ, the embodiment of the nation of Israel, the servant that could. And God speaks through the prophet, it is too light a thing for you that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel. I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus, the suffering servant, did what Israel, the servant, could not do. And in Psalm 129, I think indeed in this passage, we look past simply the church, and we see ultimately Christ, the suffering servant who was plowed under for the sake of the people of God. And when we are under God's plow and under God's harrow and under the threshing sledge, we're called to take courage, not only because of what we've seen, that God brings it for our good to produce fruit, but because Jesus took the plowing that we could not handle. He took the plow and the harrow and the threshing sledge of God's wrath that we deserved. And in the excellence of God's wisdom, He brought this at the right time. Remember, Paul says in Galatians that when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. It was at the right time. It was for a time. Remember Jesus' words on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And on the third day, He rose again. It was finished. And He is reigning now on high. And indeed, it was for a purpose. God made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. There was a purpose in Christ's work to produce fruit, and we are that fruit. All of us gathered here today are the fruit of Christ's work. The emmer and the wheat, the mosaic of beauty that's sprung up because Jesus was plowed and harrowed. So people of God, this passage, we are called to take great comfort, even and especially in our sufferings. When the Lord brings his trials into our lives, he does so at the right time, and for a time, and for a purpose. And when he brings his threshing, we know that he brings what we need to accomplish the task of removing chaff. But most of all, because of the work of Jesus, we are spared what we could not take, and his trials in our lives are only for the purpose of good, to produce fruit in our lives. We are that fruit which is produced from Christ's plowing, and we can bear fruit through him. Well, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed that you are our God and our Father by adoption, that we are truly your sons and daughters. We thank you that because the Lord Jesus suffered the penalty that we could not pay, we have this gracious gift and this wonderful promise. We have salvation and life, eternal life, through him. We pray that you would help us, even through trials, to persevere, that we might seek to serve you and love you and honor you, even in difficulty, knowing that you bring trials in our lives to produce fruit. We ask that you would give us grace, help us all the more by your Holy Spirit to turn to you and follow you all our days. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.